This episode of the New Yorkers podcast is brought to you by NewYork100.org, recognizing excellence across New York City's five boroughs. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I'm your host, Kelly Cop, a published photographer, New York City tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
With me today, I have my friend John Freya. He is a digital creator, New York City historian, and featured on Pix11's New York Living. But above all else, John is a New Yorker. Welcome to the show, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on, Kelly.
Thanks for joining us.
It's really exciting to talk about New York City history. There's so much going on really right now that
we can
talk for a very long time.
I know. We could talk forever. I'm so happy. John is what I would call a New York City aficionado. I think I know a lot. John knows more than I know.
You'll find me walking around, and if I see like something that stands out, if there's something on the building or on the sidewalk, I stop and I'll Google it and I'll learn more about it, and then I'll continue my walk and read while I do that.
Which, right.
You know, not the safest of things, but there's. Everywhere I turn, there's something that sparks my interest. And a couple of weeks ago, I realized that there is a box of just useless knowledge in my head.
Which you think is useless.
That's true. If I go on Jeopardy and there's a New York category, I'll sweep that category. But
I believe that too.
There is just I can just ramble on and on about. Give me a location. I can tell you some info on it.
I'm thinking of one right now, but we'll get to it later.
Okay.
We want to know about you. Tell us, you know, your story, where you're from, and did you move? I don't even know much about you in that aspect. Go ahead.
You know, you said that I am a New Yorker, and you're right. I grew up on Long Island. Some people might say that I'm not an official New Yorker because I wasn't born in the five boroughs, but
yes,
I'm a native to New York State.
Mm-hmm.
and I've been in the city since 2010, so it's been a long time.
Right.
And I actually studied journalism and focused on New York City local news, and I was a producer for New York One,
yes.
And I did a switch to some national morning news. And then in 2020, like everyone else, they kind of reevaluated their lives.
Exactly.
And while I was working in morning news, my getaway, because my hours were crazy, was hopping on a city bike and filming videos about New York City. They started to take off on TikTok, and I remember the day after the election in 2020, that was my last day in news. And then I segued into content creation. And growing up, our family vacations were going to museums, going to the Gilded Age mansions along the Hudson and Gold Coast of Long Island. And that nurtured this history bug in me for such a long time. And I never really took note of it until 2020. And I started to do these videos of history and New York. And before I know it, I had more than 100,000 followers on TikTok.
Yep.
And it has continued to grow. And across all platforms now, I have more than 300,000 followers, which is crazy.
That's amazing. So what platforms are you specifically on?
So I'm on TikTok, which that is here in NYC, and on Instagram, which is here in New York or here in NY.
Oh, nice.
So I focus on everything that you can think of.
Do you do YouTube?
You know, I need to do YouTube. I want to do long form videos because I would love to do that. But it takes a lot of time to do
that. It does.
Although I should just post the shorts. That's what I should do.
True.
I just forget. And I want to try Snapchat too. That's my next list.
I just feel old for Snapchat. And I know it's popular, but it's just not bringing me there.
They're changing everything up in the new year. And I would say,
okay,
do it now.
Well, it's interesting because I actually just started telling I told a lot of my friends on my Facebook page, my New York City Cop Facebook page, that now I'm back on YouTube every day and doing my shorts and doing long videos too. So they get a double feature. If they're on my YouTube and Facebook, they can see two videos. But it's a lot to add that on, you know, as with everything that we do every day. But I think it's important because YouTube is, I think, one of the biggest platforms in this, not the biggest, but it's one of the biggest, and everybody knows about it. And to monetize and everything, it's a great platform. So I'm doing more on YouTube. But go ahead. I want to hear more about you too.
Yeah. So as I was creating these videos online, I got the interest of a couple of local news stations and also a national talk show, that was on my bucket list, which is insane.
What show was it?
So it was the Drew Barrymore show.
Oh,
I went
wow.
to the Broadway flea market, and I love collecting old Broadway memorabilia. And I picked up this original playbill or Broadway program mm-hmm. from Ethel Barrymore. And it was from the 1920s or 1913. And I wanted to give it to Drew Barrymore in person. And
that's so cool.
It seemed very hard to do. But then I realized the Barrymores have a lot of New York connections. I mean, you have the Barrymore Theater named mm-hmm. after Ethel Barrymore, and there's statues of Ethel in Times Square. So I figured, let's see if I create this video series, The Barrymore Files, highlighting each Barrymore and their significance to entertainment and New York history. Mm-hmm. And I knew how that algorithm worked, and I was hoping like an executive producer or a producer from the show would see it. And sure enough, they did. And they invited me to host this segment talking about the Barrymore family at the Barrymore Film Center in Fort Lee, New Jersey, which coincidentally was originally like the Hollywood of the East Coast. There was more movie studios there than
In Fort Lee.
That is where a lot of the original, like the first movie studios were there. The talkies were filmed there.
From across the GW Bridge?
Yes.
I can walk there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
Go ahead.
And then I hosted that. And as I was leaving the center, I gave the playbill to the producer. I said, hey, like, I love New York City history and I love Broadway history, but I really appreciate family history. And I wanted Drew to have it. Like, that was, at that point, I didn't care if I met her or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a phone call the next week, and they said, we want to have you in the studio while we roll your segment into the show. And we want you to surprise Drew with this gift. And sure enough, I got to the studio the next week. Sat front row, and they rolled the segment in, and my face was beet red because I have, not only is Drew watching it, I have the entire audience
right,
watching it.
Yep.
And then they're looking at me and I'm like, oh God, I just hope that it goes well. And then she calls me out, and that's when she brought me onto the stage. I sat on Drew's desk, which was really
that's
cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And I gave her the playbill.
That's really, I'm sure your face wasn't red on camera though. I'm sure you look great.
It might have been. My face is always red. It's just my ears get red at that point.
I get that too. But that's a really cool moment.
Yeah. And that was an incredible thing that I've never thought that I would be able to experience. But there's even videos that I've created that people have followed up with me.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video during Fleet Week, and I highlighted one of the Navy one of the Marines or Navy officers,
mm-hmm.
and he was showing me around one of the helicopters. It turns out someone slid into his DMs from my video, and they're engaged now.
Oh, wow.
I know.
You brought them together.
I brought them together just because of my video. I'm like, that's insane.
Can you officiate a wedding?
I was thinking about getting...
Really?
When my brother and my sister-in-law were getting married, because there was like two best men and then two maid of honors, I'm like, you know
what?
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
It was a big wedding.
Like, yeah.
I can just officiate the wedding. We can just kind of take one person off the altar. I mean, we can go to City Hall and do
right.
it. But they decided to leave me in the best man position.
But that's still pretty cool.
I may have to get my license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're bringing people together. You're hooking people up.
That you know what? I'll add matchmaker onto my,
yeah, I was gonna
onto
say,
my,
you
my
need
resume.
To make your here in New York a dating site.
Ooh.
See, look at you.
I like
you know what's funny? I was scrolling through the, I don't know if scrolling is the right word, but through the TV channels one day, and I saw you. On TV, on one of the news stations. Yeah, I was like, there's John.
Yeah.
You did
11.
So good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
I started 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the ongoing joke there is I usually connect my appearance with something that's happening in the city or if there's a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And my second appearance was in November, actually 2 years ago. And I told them that I love to bake cookies during Christmas time. And I'll bake
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. I do these chocolate chip cookies
that's awesome.
Has like a little caffeine in it. Everyone loves them. And I bake like 300 to 400 of them. And they said, well, where are the cookies? I said, well, invite me to the next, when I'm on next month, I'll bring some in for you guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's exactly what I did. I brought them cookies in December. And that from there, every time I'm on, I have to bring food into the studio. Otherwise, it's not that they won't let me in.
Right.
But it's just the tradition that we've,
though.
Yes, it's a little, we have to bring that in order to step in.
Well, you need to let us know that, so we can put in my stories on my social media that when you're on TV so people can watch you too.
Thank you.
So that'd be really cool. So can you tell us what your social media theme is? Like, what is your goal or what inspires you, how you do your social media?
So it's really highlighting the history of New York,
mm-hmm.
and then also highlighting people that make New York and giving their voice a platform. Mm-hmm. I if it's a small business owner, if it's someone that is an artist on the street where we'll pass something that we've seen so many times and we want to know more about it, but we just don't take that extra initiative to do that research online. I've done street artist videos on street artists, on restaurant owners, because these are the people that make New York what New York is. So that's really what I encompass. And
I love that.
I try to throw in a little bit of my personality. More and more, I've mm-hmm. been adding things that I like that represent who I am into my videos.
I love that, John. I love your page, obviously. And
I see you
all the time with our group of friends at events. And it's, John and I were just talking earlier, too, how it's so awesome to have such a positive group of friends, how we all have such a passion for New York City and then a passion for our own style, what we do. And it's just a great community that we have built together too.
It is, because at the end of the day, a lot of us work solo every day.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do see each other, it's just nice to be around and share that passion, because we all have that creative drive. When we're at an event, our creative juices are churning.
Right.
And your video is going to be different than another creator's video.
Exactly.
Like, everyone has their own little touch. And that's what makes our community so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, for me, I always think there's no reason for us to have like any competitiveness.
Exactly.
Because your voice is different than my voice.
Exactly.
And you create like your videos and the longer videos that you've done with the lives, like you're showing how New York really is too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And you put a beauty in anything. If it's like the flag on the GW Bridge, or if it's a fire hydrant,
yeah.
Like there's things that people, again, see pass every day.
We take it for granted.
We take it for granted, but you really show that beauty of New York.
Well, just like you, though, and the people that you honor in New York City, too, the people of New York City, which is incredible. So let's move into Thanksgiving.
Oh.
You want to talk about Thanksgiving?
I mean, yeah, because there's a lot to talk about.
There is.
I mean, we're how many days away? And I feel that there has
not.
Yeah, there's not that many days away.
It's 8 days away.
Oh. I've been thinking about Thanksgiving probably since September, and probably since August.
Mm-hmm.
Reason for that is because Macy's, we have the big parade. Mm-hmm. We love that. And they do their test run, and they do a special test run for the people that are actually doing the balloons.
Right.
And at the end of summer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then they unveil the new balloons.
Correct.
Which is the first weekend in November. And this year they have a lot of new balloons. I think it's like 7?
Yeah, 7 or 8.
One of them is Minnie, who by coincidence,
Minnie
she's
Mouse.
Actually a New Yorker.
Minnie Mouse is
Minnie
a
Mouse
Yorker?
A New Yorker.
Did not know that.
Yes.
Did you know that, Jay?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so she debuted in Steamboat Mickey or Willie.
Yes,
yeah,
I was actually going to say I remember that, but I don't remember because it was like 100 years ago, basically.
But it debuted.
But I remember when I was a kid seeing it. Yeah,
it debuted at an old Broadway theater when it was a movie theater.
Did it really?
Yes.
You happen to know what year? If you don't, it's okay.
I don't off the top of my head.
1930s, 40s.
Yeah.
40s,
it has to be, because it has to be like actually in the 20s, because the copyright was just up for Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
Which is why we're seeing a lot more renditions of Mickey Mouse throughout.
Really?
Yeah.
So Minnie Mouse is new in the parade.
Is new in the parade.
Well, I think I used to be a balloon handler in the parade for like 5 years.
Yeah, I need to know about this because that's actually been a dream of mine to be a balloon handler.
It's really fun and I loved it. But when the pandemic came, they asked me to be in it too. Like the few that were in it, just a little production in front of Macy's. And I just had hernia surgery a few weeks before. And I said, well, I'm not sure, I have to ask my surgeon. And they're like, oh, no, don't worry about it. Your health is more important. We'll see you next year. I haven't heard from them since.
So how many years did you do it?
5. I was a Power Ranger on the Hello Kitty. I didn't know much about, but talk about people going bananas over Hello Kitty.
That's how Bluey was last year.
Bluey too.
Oh
my gosh. I forget who else I was. One of the stars, the little stars, was just a couple people. Cause there's like a couple hundred, there's maybe 100 of us on with ropes, you know, with the huge balloons.
That makes sense.
And when it's windy, it's really challenging. Like when you turn on Central Park South down 6th Avenue, I mean, it's a wind tunnel, and it's, now I get how everybody has to struggle to hold on to the balloon if it's windy. And sometimes it's windy and we have to keep the balloons lower, you know, because of, you know, they could go flying away and pull us away. And there's a lot to it, but it's really cool. I absolutely loved it. I'm sad they don't do it anymore.
Yeah. It's on my goal. The only thing is, I know it's an early wake up call.
You get on the train. I got on the train, the subway at 3 a.m.
Oh,
because you have to be like, I think you have to be at Macy's. Actually, it's at the famous New Yorker Hotel. There's a huge auditorium there somewhere. I can't remember. Maybe it's, but anyway, and then it's all sections of what, you know, balloon you're going to be on, and you get dressed in your costume and stuff or whatever. I don't want to call it a costume, whatever it's called.
I guess
it's a costume.
I guess it's
all wear the
I
same
would say
thing.
A costume. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, my Hello Kitty costume. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, I mean, I loved it, but afterwards, I realized how popular Hello Kitty, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's really cool. It's really fun.
It is really cool. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things about the parade is the night before when they
inflate
the balloons. So the blocks around the American Museum of Natural History, mm-hmm. that is where they inflate all the balloons. And I remember going before the pandemic, and it wasn't this big celebration as what it is this mm-hmm. like today. It was a nice thing where you can just walk around the blocks and you get really up close to these balloons that are being inflated that millions of people will be watching.
Easy to go to.
Yeah. Last year I walked by, I'm like, this is insane.
Thousands.
Like the Upper
people.
West Side is taken over by Taurus, which is, it's great for business, but you cannot walk by Columbus Avenue. It is so hard. And I think there's only one way to enter, and it's mm-hmm. by 72nd Street and exactly. Columbus. Now, keep in mind, the museum itself is on 79th Street. So you have to walk over an avenue and then up almost
from Columbus back over to
Central Park West. And then you have to walk all the way up 7 blocks. And there's a lot of people.
Thousands.
And just if you go, which it's totally worth it, because it is a great experience, especially for families. Just carve out a couple hours.
Yes. I actually entered a tour in that area, a personal tour with some people. And I'm like, oh, the balloon inflation night is tonight. Let's go see it. We gave up. We got from Columbus to Central Park West and then looked north. It was a sea of thousands of people. I'm like, it's impossible, you guys.
Yeah.
We're going to be here for hours. You know, I'm happy to do it, but you're on vacation. I don't know if you want to waste all this time.
Yeah, and it's always hard to figure out what time that is the best time to go to the inflation. Because if you go in the morning, there's not that many people, but there's very few balloons that are actually inflated. You'll see, like, the stars, the candy canes.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that you want to see, like, everyone loved Bluey last year. And SpongeBob was also a popular one. Those got inflated towards the afternoon, which then got more crowded. But this tradition of balloons was actually started the balloons really weren't part of the first ever Macy's parade. Do you know that?
I did not know this.
So they didn't come until 1927. So it turns out the parade started in 1924. And if you're ever walking on Central Park West, mm-hmm. right outside the New York Historical Society, you're going to see a plaque on the sidewalk that commemorates the start of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And the route was a lot longer than what it is today. So today it's like 2.5 miles from the American Museum of Natural History mm-hmm. down to Macy's Herald Square. It originally started on 145th Street in Harlem.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Look at Jay. He's laughing.
Walking all the way down to Herald Square, and there was no balloons, there was floats, and then there was also animals borrowed
that
from Central Park Zoo. So could you imagine just like walking out? Basically, from Harlem to Herald Square, you have elephants, you have, I'm assuming there was probably, what other animals? Monkeys? There was monkeys. Because I read, there was that, there was
turtles.
Elephants.
I'm kidding.
Lion? No, I cannot
know.
Imagine a lion in the streets of the city. I mean, obviously
cool,
that would be pretty cool, but I don't think, yeah. So, yeah, so they borrowed all the animals from the Central Park Zoo.
So it starts at 81st Street now, or 79th.
Yeah.
And you're saying it started at 145th.
Yes. And it
insane.
And it wasn't
That's
called.
That's where I live.
Yeah. And it wasn't originally called the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was more of a Christmas parade. And of course, at the end, you had Santa Claus kind of ushering in the holiday season. But there, it was such a success that Macy's said they were going to do it the following year. And it really kind of started as a parade to appreciate the employees and more of a publicity stunt. It wasn't
right.
for an American tradition, which is kind of funny. But that I think there was like 250,000 people that lined the streets to see the parade.
The first time.
And 90.
That's insane.
And since then, it's happened 98 times. Now, keep in mind, 1924, we're 2024. You would think it's the 100th anniversary, but during World War II, there was a pause on the parade because of helium and then rubber. There was restrictions on there was because of the war.
You're a plethora of knowledge.
As I said, there's little knowledge in here that I just like kind of pull
this.
Out. My brain's like a roller deck.
Yeah.
Like just we're going to go to Thanksgiving, Macy's, take out the index card, and that's what's,
it's
and that's what's in there.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. So there was no balloons. The first balloon was Felix the Cat, 1927.
That's cool.
Now, today these balloons are designed for the helium to come out, which is great, right? But the original ones did not have a valve. So what they had to do is they released it at the end. You got to 34th Street. What are you going to do with these balloons? They release it, and there's actually a tag on these balloons that if someone finds it, bring it to Macy's, and you'll get a gift card. I think it was like a $100 gift card back
really?
Then. Yeah.
That's a lot of money then.
Exactly. And
now do.
This caused fights between neighbors on Long Island.
Wow.
Because one landed on someone's property and this other person tried to take it. And there was one that fell into the river. There was another one that landed on a farm. And this is when the tradition stopped. One actually, I think, got caught up in a plane. And that wasn't a good thing. So that tradition eventually mm-hmm. stopped.
Was there an accident or something?
I think there was. I should have a double check and let you know. But it's like a quirky tradition.
You know what's interesting? So being in the parade every year, at the end, when we end, we pass Macy's. And then, you know, we go to the side. What street is that? 7th Avenue. We turn up. And then we take all the balloons there and we have to deflate them. And so we bring them all down and we all have to, this, you know, 100 of us or whatever. So we all lay on the balloon.
Oh, it's like a bouncy house.
Exactly. We bring it down and, you know, there's like big, what's it called? Like areas where there's Velcro, where they open them. And then, but you can't stand too close to it because you get the helium in your face.
Oh, so then your voice will get a very high pitch at one point.
So you got to be careful. And then they have us all. Everybody on that, you know, balloon, we all lay on it towards the end and we're trying to get all the helium out. It's kind of interesting, you know.
I always wondered what happened after it reached Macy's.
And then, then we roll it up like a Tootsie Roll. Seriously. And then we put it in this huge, like, looks like a laundry bin. And then they roll it off.
And it's like nothing has ever happened.
Yeah.
Until
like my huge, you know, 80-foot balloon or whatever. I don't even know the size of them. Is now in a laundry bucket or a laundry cart, you know? So it's like a hotel laundry cart or something.
And they actually, do you
know
where?
That, Jay?
I did not know that.
It's really amazing to see that.
This is so fun to talk
and
about.
I always want to see if they post any videos online, like spectators, because that's one part of the parade you never see online of the deflation of the balloons.
Right.
And I find that, I love the behind the scenes of
yeah,
stuff.
Me too.
So that would be so cool to see.
Well, actually, it's, you know, we have our press passes, so it's easy. I've taken pictures and stuff, you know. Actually, when I was in the parade, I would take pictures too of us laying on it. I got to find them and maybe I'll post them.
Yes. That'd be really cool.
It's fun. Okay, John. So now let's talk about the floats. Give us information about the floats in themselves.
So this year there's 7 new floats. 2 of them are actually New York related, which is really cool. One is honoring the Bronx Zoo.
And that is cool.
Other one is honoring Rao's.
Yeah,
I know. Rao's Homemade has their own float. And all
of
these
own pasta sauce now.
I know. I can go for a nice vodka. I can go for a nice penne alla vodka.
Yeah, me too.
So they make all their floats and even their balloons at their Macy's studio in Moonaki, New Jersey, which is around a 40-minute train ride from Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool to go there because you see their designs, their drawings, their renderings come to life. And it is a giant warehouse where part of it, you have all the floats set up. They usually do a media day, which is the week before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They preview the new ones. And then they take you into the area where they actually paint a lot of the balloons and a lot of the float parts. So it feels like this is the true behind the scenes of where the magic happens for the parade. And it is it's so cool to see. But now you're trying to figure out how do you get from New Jersey to the Upper West Side bringing these floats that you're not going to bring them over the bridge. So they all collapse. So they're all really taken apart and basically folded down. And some are then rebuilt with giant cranes and machinery right outside the museum. But they do this the night before, the day before the balloon inflation and during the balloon inflation. They load up everything and it's like a caravan of Macy's trucks of the floats.
And
they get parked. So when you're actually doing the balloon inflation, you're going to see that. You'll see in the front of the American Museum of Natural History, a lot of the floats being created. Of course, the first one is Tom the Turkey.
Yeah.
He's always the first one. Mm-hmm. And then up all along Central Park West, that is where they build the floats. And they do the balloons on the side streets.
That's very cool.
So some people, depending on, again, what time you go, you can see a lot of the floats being constructed on top of seeing the balloons being inflated.
Speaking of the floats and balloons again, real quick, I'm going to go back to the balloons because my first year in the parade, I was one of the stars, you know, those little stars I was talking about a little bit earlier. And so it's just a few of us, but it's right. These stars are the ones right in front of Santa, which is at the end of the parade. So it was my first experience in the parade. And, you know, Santa is the star of the parade. I mean, it was nothing but, I mean, screaming and yelling and my ears had to be covered basically because it was so loud, but it was such an amazing experience because the energy from everyone in the parade was just incredible. Because here's the end of the parade and there's Santa in his huge sleigh, who's the star of the show. I can't even explain the feeling. It was so surreal. Like I was out of a body experience.
That is awesome.
And then when we went down and turned at 34th Street in front of Macy's with Santa right behind us, we're with Santa. And so all the Rockettes are there, all the graffiti's going off, the music. I'm not kidding. Everything in my brain was slow motion. It was the craziest, most amazing experience of my life. And then I tried to actually high five one of the Rockettes, but I didn't know you couldn't do that. And somebody caught me right. I was just trying to be cool. I thought, you know, it was my first year in the parade and this guy's like, don't do it. You can't do that. You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. You know,
that, I mean, for that to be your first parade experience
can't be topped.
No, I will
never forget it.
There is just something when Santa comes down 34th Street or wherever, even if you're just watching the parade in real life.
Right.
When Santa passes, it's your inner child just comes out. You get so excited.
Yeah.
And
I get it.
And for you to be a part of it and then seeing everyone's reaction as Santa passes.
The crowd is going bonkers when Santa is going by them. And, you know, the kids are just so much joy. It's just such a cool experience. And then just to say, you know, hey, happy Thanksgiving. Like when I was doing the balloons after that, the few years. So we were ahead of Santa for a while. Yeah. So we could talk to the audience or wave to them and say happy Thanksgiving. The whole crowd is so happy and joyous. And it's, you know, you just say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And everybody yells happy Thanksgiving. And it's just, it's a really cool experience. You got to do it, John.
I went to the grandstands 1 year and that was a lot of, you can tell the people in the parade are having so much joy. Like there's, I will not forget this. There was this little girl that was sitting in the front row of the grandstands, and every clown or every person that was in a costume that had confetti would throw the confetti at her. And she, like, we were a little jealous, not gonna lie. Not gonna lie. It was a couple of years ago, yeah. But, you know.
That would be too.
But she got so excited, and the people there were just, they were just so happy to be part of it.
Yeah, people from all over the world. You know, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Now, huge deal.
Have you ever, so you've marched in it, but have you ever seen it in person? Like, just like as a spectator?
Yes. Yep. I have. I actually, my friend Marco and I from my Christmas in New York that you guys know, he and I got there at, well, to bring this up real quick, you have to be there at 4 a.m. I recommend as a guest, you know, standing on the sidelines. What time do you think they should be there?
So, okay. I agree. 4 o'clock in the morning. If you are not, if you do not have grandstand tickets.
Exactly. Oh, yep.
Be there early. Now, if you are one of the lucky ones that do get a grandstand
Good
ticket,
point.
There is a special entrance. And I think I had to get there at 6 a.m.
I've done that one too.
Mm-hmm. Now, 6 a.m., the parade doesn't start until 9. It's a long gap.
It is. How do you get these grandstand tickets? I got it from my good friend Barbara from Candlelighters, New York City. The you know, she's amazing. She works with children with cancer and their families.
Oh.
She's an incredible human being. And they get these tickets too. And I went one year with them.
One of my friends who was another content creator, she couldn't go. She was traveling to see her family unexpectedly. And I said, I would love to take them if they're still available. So she just gave me the grandstand tickets. I don't know how people get them.
Yeah. That mine was a gift as well.
And if anyone can get them,
yeah, I think it's you
enjoy them.
You got to know someone who knows.
Yeah,
someone.
I think it's like someone with Macy's or with the production team. But on it, like, they have strict, like, no coolers, no backpacks. They do say no food and no drinks. Like, there's some, you can bring something because, again, it's early in the morning, so you kind of need to eat something. Mm-hmm. But I did see there, like, some people were having breakfast on the bleachers. So it depends.
That's funny.
I guess it depends.
Well, Marco and I wanted to get right in front of Radio City Music Hall, you know, just to have the view in our videos, you know, and when it turned out beautifully, we loved what we did. So we wanted a, you know, really perfect spot. So we got there at 4 a.m. and there was already people there. You know, we got up front, thank God. But I mean, and so we got all the floats and the balloons with Radio City Music Hall in the background. But it was, you know, if we were there just half an hour later, it would have been busy already. So it was, we're glad we went early. I didn't want to go early, but, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event for a lot of us.
It is.
It was worth it.
And
I dressed very, very warm. Many socks, many long underwear layers, pants, jackets, you name it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that you point out, that it is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Mm-hmm. And for us, like, yes, we've done this multiple times, but that novelty still does not wear off. Like, I am just so grateful to even have that opportunity of just filming it. And yes, we can use our press pass.
We can use our press pass.
Which is great.
Incredible.
I mean, saves a lot of headaches. But when you see these people visiting New York or even native New Yorkers, I mean, my family have never gone to the parade because they don't know what time to get there. They don't want to deal with the big crowds as well.
And the bathrooms. How do you access bathrooms? I'll tell you mine when you tell me what you think.
So I will say I only saw the parade once, and that was when I was at the grandstands. Other than that, I figured I would have a better sight on TV.
Right.
So I watched it on TV. But if you do get the grandstands, they do have porta potties.
Mm-hmm.
They're it's a good walk down the parade route, but they do have porta potties.
I, first of all, recommend just not going to the bathroom. Be prepared to not go because it's hard to get the porta potties and to leave your space as well with those all thousands of people. It's tough. But if you want to go to a spot closer to bathrooms, I would get on the Radio City Music Hall side of 6th Avenue instead of across from it. That way you can go to Rockefeller Center and use their downstairs bathrooms. That's the only thing I recommend.
That is smart. Actually, I usually have a list of bathrooms that I always keep in mind when I'm walking around the city. And that is one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That is a good one.
Uh-huh. So that's what I recommend, because then it's a public bathroom. You're right there at Rockefeller Center, but you have to be on the side of the street which Radio City Music Hall is on.
Yes.
Because that way you don't have to pass barriers or crossover barriers. But I recommend not even leaving your spot and plan on not going. Yeah,
it's like when it comes to New Year's Eve and the ball drop.
I was just going to say that.
You have to, if you're going to go to one of these big events with a lot of people, mm-hmm. you have to just be dedicated to it.
Commit.
Be prepared. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know.
And that you know the reality of no bathrooms.
Yes.
Or there are, but the access to them is very challenging.
Yeah, because you're not the only one that's going to be using the bathroom. There's going to be a long line and mm-hmm. going through that sea of people is not fun.
Yep. And here's another good point, I feel. If the parade will be over sooner for you, if you start, if you watch it up at 79th, 78th Street area. Well, those are the grandstands mostly.
So those are the grandstands, but yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. If you are at the beginning of the parade, so mm-hmm. Upper West Side area.
Perfect.
And it starts at 9, by 10:30, you're done.
Exactly. Because it's time to end at basically noon, right?
Yeah, there's a New York law that a parade can only be X amount of hours long. That's why if you see like the Columbus Day Parade, the Indian American Parade, the Puerto Rican Day Parade, all of these celebrations, they technically can only close the street for X amount of hours. I don't know if the Macy's Parade has an exception just because it's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade
no
and it's the biggest celebration around, but there is a time limit technically.
I didn't know that. Well, Columbus Circle is a good spot to watch the parade too.
Yes.
So that's where I would probably in that area hang out. And then you have Columbus Circle to use their restrooms too.
Yes.
I just thought of that. So yeah, I recommend starting or just watching the parade on the Upper West Side from like 59th Street up to whatever you can do. And there you go.
Yeah. And you,
it's done quicker.
And you will not be able to get anywhere near 34th Street. It's basically a frozen zone. Mm-hmm. And even with media credentials, you can't get in. So like it's a frozen area that only the VIPs get mm-hmm. tickets to sit outside that we see on camera and we see a lot of the performances.
Yep. I always see Hoda Kotb every year on the Upper West Side standing there.
Yes.
And with the crowd.
You know, since she's leaving the Today Show in January, I wonder who's it's going to be. I think Craig is taking over, so it's going to be Craig and Savannah now.
Yeah.
So it'll be like kind of passing the torch. So this is going to be Coda's last parade coverage.
I know. But it's always so cool to see her.
It is.
I have a question though, too, now.
Yeah.
I want to segue into restaurants.
Yes.
So do you have any suggestions for restaurants for people on Thanksgiving to go to? I mean, I think a lot of restaurants are open that day in general, right?
Yeah, in general, in any holiday in the city, they're going to be open. It's just you need a reservation.
A reservation, definitely.
You know, if you don't have it, you're going to probably be walking around and maybe in the more neighborhood area, like the smaller areas, mm-hmm. like you might have a better chance of walking in. But in general, I'm going to say their reservations are booked.
Right. I do know Katz is closed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's closed on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Huh.
But Katz is the New York institution is closed on those big holidays.
So we have to go someplace else for a Katz's and pastrami sandwiches.
The famous Patsy's restaurant on 56th between Broadway and 8th Avenue. That's open. That's where Frank Sinatra. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, of course.
Just tell us about it.
So, you know, when you walk into Patsy's, you can't go through the normal door. Like how regular people, you got to do it the Frank way.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at the front entrance, there's a door to the left and there's a staircase. That staircase is what he would use mm-hmm. to enter the restaurant. And there is a room called like the Frank Sinatra room in Patsy's mm-hmm. and it's named in his honor because that's where he would go and hang out with his Rat Pack and whenever he was in the city.
So do you know that Frank Sinatra had some famous dishes at Patsy's that he loved?
I've heard of them, but I'm not. Tell me about them.
Well, the little bit of information that I knew that I know compared to you, but so he went in there. His favorites were the New York strip with pizza aioli sauce.
I think you're saying it right.
He also loved their veal milanese and then their fusilli with garlic and anchovies and their lemon ricotta torte. Those were his favorite.
Okay, the lemon ricotta sounds really good.
Yeah.
And the fusilli? I'll have the fusilli, just not with anchovies.
Well, that's funny you said that because, it was garlic. He liked it as long as there wasn't. But it was one of his favorites as long as it didn't have a lot of garlic.
Oh, interesting.
And side note, one of his favorite things just in general were Tootsie Rolls.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I never got into Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
That was one of Frank Sinatra's favorite candies that he always had with himself.
Wow. Old Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Okay, John, you know, I asked on my Facebook page some of my awesome followers to ask some questions, if they had any questions for today's podcast.
Okay.
So Carol Ann Wildly asks, tell us about, my experience actually walking in the Thanksgiving Day parade while holding a balloon, which I did talk about.
Yeah.
You know, so Carol Ann, great question. And she asks, how did it feel to be a part of a New York institution? It felt amazing. And I was so proud of that a New York City experience. I mean, that historical parade that's worldwide known every year, and to be a part of it was just so incredible. So, yeah, thanks, Caroline, for asking that question. So, John, Rhonda Dotson Holloway asks, what's the best place to see the parade that has a bathroom close by?
I think
we did talk a little
about
it.
We did talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I am going to agree with Kelly of going by Radio City, because you'll be right by Rockefeller Center and you can use the bathrooms there.
Yeah.
I would stick with that. Columbus Circle might be good, but I think my number one would be by Radio City.
I agree. Wendy Eisen asks, what's the best time to go see the parade or get there to see the parade? And what form of travel would work best, Uber or transit?
Okay.
That's awesome.
So early in the morning, as we covered, 4:30, line up there. Mass transit. Do the subway. That's how you're going to get there.
Completely agree.
Because even on a regular day, driving around the city is not fun. And you're going to be having thousands of people heading to the same spot that you're heading to. And there's so many road closures. Just take the subway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Living here, an Uber would be out of the question, I feel. Yeah. I think it would be super expensive. Uber expensive. That was a pun. So Azucena Alavas wants to know if there are seating areas or if there's somewhere to sit, and what should people wear and how should they dress, basically.
So there is the grandstands for ticketed, which we kind of covered that. That is the only area that you technically can sit. As far as, I mean, you can sit on the sidewalk. I don't know if you can really bring a little folding chair if you're a spectator along Sixth Avenue, or
I think I saw people with them when I was at Radio City Music, but it's hard. But once the parade starts, everybody's standing up.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A good point.
So you don't want to be lugging it.
So I have a question, John. So all the benches, so to speak, that look like stadium benches, all the way down to Columbus Circle and then along Central Park South, those are all ticketed?
Those are all ticketed.
All of those?
So yeah, so the thing is,
I did not know this.
If you have the grandstands, you arrive at 6 and it basically starts filling up section by section. So just because you have a grandstand ticket does not mean, you're going to be sitting at 77th Street. You can be sitting at 59th Street. Like, you can be entering by the American Museum of Natural History and walk all the way down until you find a seat.
Wow.
So it's good to get there earlier and you can kind of be at a distance where you're not walking that far from where you enter. Or if you're a little later, you will have to walk down Central Park West until you actually find an area where you can sit.
Great info, John. Yamirta Marrero wants to know if most of the restaurants in Times Square area will be open.
I'm going to say check beforehand, but in general, I'm going to err on the side of yes.
Me too.
But always call ahead.
Because I'm thinking Juniors, you know, will be open, the locations there. A lot of hotels are there, so I feel like most restaurants and hotels are always open 365.
Yes, and it's most likely going to be a prefix menu.
Exactly, and like you said, reservations.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't think of anything that's really going to be closed, in my opinion, but you said reservations. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So Valeria Van Bakum, the last question, also has a few questions. She would like to know how you become a volunteer, and if it's run by volunteers, and how long does it take to blow up the balloons, and how many balloons are there? And finally, when was the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and is it the same route every year? Great question. We covered a little of them.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So I'll start with the last question first. as we covered, first parade was 1924, and it only was paused 3 times in its history, and this year makes it its 98th.
Amazing
parade. The other question was how long it takes for balloons to be inflated. It depends on the size of the balloon.
Good point.
Some of them are huge. I remember the SpongeBob balloon. That is a giant one. And I'm trying to get a statistic of this, one of the big ones from this year. There is the Extraordinary Nora from Elf on the Shelf.
Mm-hmm.
That is 66 feet long, 19 feet wide, 44 feet tall. So that's going to take a long time to blow up. Minnie Mouse is 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 60 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah. The biggest one this year that's a new one, I think that award goes to Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man is 77 and a half feet long.
Wow. The one year I was a Power Ranger, and I remember thinking that thing was massive.
Yes.
It takes hours, too, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
And how do they blow them up? Do you know, like, specifically, like, they just put, you know, connect, like, a big fire hose in a sense that,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, so as they're unrolled mm-hmm. on the side street, they're first covered in a tarp.
Right.
Or net, I should say.
They're netting, yes.
Yeah,
because, right.
So you know, you're blowing it up with helium if it's not weighted down.
Yep.
Goodbye, balloon.
That's true.
But there are different sections in the balloon. So mm-hmm. it's not just one port that a hose hooks up to
right.
and gets filled with helium. They do section at a time. So they can do a leg, an arm. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I've done the balloon inflation ceremony or the test run at MetLife Stadium, that could take around an hour to actually get one full balloon.
Yeah. It's fascinating to go to the balloon inflation night, like we talked about earlier, and just to see the process and the progress
yes.
of them being blown up. Blown up isn't the right word, you know. It didn't sound right. Everybody knows what I mean. And so Valeria wants to know also, last question of hers is, you know, how do you become a volunteer? And is it all run by volunteers?
I don't think it's run by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I do know a lot of the people that are in it are connected to Macy's. Like if they're workers at Macy's, family members, because I had a family friend that worked on the corporate side of Herald Square, and her family ended up walking in the parade. So I think it's more of you have the Macy's workers,
mm-hmm.
but then you also do have companies that I guess you can, they would be volunteers. I actually applied this year to be a Bluey handler.
That's
because
cool.
My niece loves Bluey.
Yep.
But I did not get it. So
you will this year.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a mix between volunteers and then through Macy's.
Yeah. The balloon handlers, from my experience, you know, we were all volunteering and it was so cool. And sadly, as we know, I'm still hanging on to that sadness that I don't do it anymore.
You never know. Maybe next year you'll become a balloon handler ride on a float.
Yep. But you get in by, from what I understand, to be a balloon handler, you have to be sponsored by someone who works at Macy's.
Okay.
From that
makes sense.
That's my awareness.
Which makes sense because the mm-hmm. parade did start off
mm-hmm.
filled with Macy's employees.
Correct.
So they keep that tradition alive.
But it's really cool though, talking, you get to know everybody because you're put on a bus from the New Yorker hotel area to up to 79th Street, or 81st or whatever, and they let us all out. It's really cool to see everybody in their costumes and big clowns and everything. It's such a fun experience and a bonding experience.
Yes, because you see some of the people that are dressed up on the floats,
yeah.
like they're a stop sign or
yeah.
like some of them are.
They're all on the bus.
They're kind of funny costumes.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, do you want to be like dressed up cool or did I throw
yep.
the short straw and I'm wearing a crazy costume?
It's just so cool because you see 100 clowns, you know, underneath a balloon. You know, it's really cool because it's a really cool bonding experience because we're all running around getting our own pictures. And
I think there's two floats that I would love to be on that are in, I think, every year. One is the Sesame Street one.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, hanging out with Oscar and Big Bird and Elmo, like, that's pretty cool. The other one probably would be the Hess truck float because I always collected Hess trucks growing up.
Oh,
and that
funny.
Is, that's a cool one.
That is pretty cool.
Or the Lego. They have a Lego one last year.
Yeah.
I'm 32 years old and I can proudly say that I still build Legos because
for
me,
awesome.
It's relaxing.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. So I would say that float too.
I like the Jimmy Fallon float he was
yes.
on last year. It's like a big cake or something.
Yes. That was a cool one.
I was like,
one.
Wow, that's a massive, huge, tall
yeah.
float too. It's so fun. I like to also do photos and videos on the Upper West Side with the buildings, the Upper West Side buildings behind the floats. Like say I'm standing with my back to Central Park or something. And
yes,
I love that view.
It is a beautiful view. And you have people standing, they open up their windows and they're standing on their ledge.
Yeah, it's really
just
cool.
Just seeing and watching the parade. And it's cool.
A memory for people who live there.
One, I was talking to someone that they want to check to see what apartments on Central Park West are on Airbnb for Thanksgiving. Like, that's actually a genius. If you're able to live on Central Park West and you rent out your apartment for the day, that is genius.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Too bad I don't live on Central Park
West. Me neither.
Well. John, I wish we could keep talking, but we have to go.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. I mean, we could talk so much more about the parade, about Thanksgiving. It's endless. And you're a plethora of knowledge, as I said. And I don't know. I'm just enjoying this so much, and we have to end it.
Well, you make talking and just talking about New York so fun and effortless. So,
well, so do you.
Thank you.
You know, I think we do it well together.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here today, my friend.
Thank you.
So, John, before we let you go, we here at the New Yorkers podcast want to know what it means to you, John Freya, to be a New Yorker.
That is a deep question. I would say to be a New Yorker, you have to have the characteristics of what New York is. Someone that no matter what, you bounce back, you become stronger, life will throw you curveballs, and you learn from them, and you just don't take people's shit. You have to grow that thick skin.
I love that.
And that's it. And there's some grittiness to you, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Some people will like you. Some people won't.
John, you're the best. I love that answer.
Thank you.
That is so good. I absolutely love it. That is so great. Thank you for joining us today for this week's episode of the New Yorkers podcast. John, why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
You can find me on TikTok at HereInNYC, and then also on Instagram at Here_in_NY.
Once again, I am your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp, across all my social media.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers podcast, and you can follow the New Yorkers on social media at the New Yorkers podcast.
You can leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you are enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, Maria Boulay, Sarah Ostrom, and I'm very thankful for Betty Jess Kopp, who's my mom, for your very kind words on the last episode. If you want to be featured at the end of an episode, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or a comment on Spotify.
And thank you, Louise Taylor, Alba, and John Mills for your comments on Facebook.
Have a lovely day, my friends, and we will see you next time.
Goodbye.
Thank you, New York 100, for sponsoring this episode. To learn more about them, visit ny100.org.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.